For those of you who are new, my name's Chris Moles. I'm a certified counselor with ACBC and a graduate here of the Faith Master of Arts of Biblical Counseling program. I was in the very first graduating class, so if you're interested in learning about that program, you can grab me at lunch. I'll be happy to tell you more about it. Just don't judge its value by what you're about to hear. Thanks. I pastor a small church in a small town in my home state of West Virginia, or as we like to call it, Best Virginia. For those of you who realize that there are two states, and I do know that's tricky sometimes. I go on trips and people say, are you near Richmond? No, nowhere near Richmond. Where is the beach close? No, we're surrounded by five other states. So West Virginia, I pastor a little church in Eleanor, the town of Eleanor, West Virginia, about 35, 40 folks, and so it's always exciting to get to speak to a crowd this big. I joke all the time that I actually preach to thousands, 10 at a time, and so this is just getting me on up the ranks. Okay, so again, for those of you who are new, about 10 years ago, actually for the past 15 years, I've worked, volunteered and worked in criminal corrections, and just by God's grace, I have no background in criminal justice. But as a young youth pastor getting started in ministry, I prayed for open doors and opportunities and was approached by a former state trooper to serve on the Juvenile Crime Coalition. And they needed a faith-based counselor, and they saw on my resume, because I had to turn in a resume for the board, that I had counseling training. And they didn't know what track one was, but that's what I had. So that's what we use. And yes. So, hey, listen, if you're in a small community and they have needs like our community has needs, they really don't ask a whole lot of questions if you're a warm body and you make at least some intelligible sense when you talk. So go for it. You never know what God's going to do. So in that process of teaching and working with juvenile offenders, I started teaching parenting classes and different things. And then about 10 years ago, my friend Kim approached me and asked me if I'd be willing to help her start a batterer intervention program, which was designed for men convicted of domestic violence. They would be sentenced to a court-ordered class for 32 weeks with us. Yeah, and I said, no, don't want to do that. Don't want anything to do with that. She asked me three more times. I said, no, no, no. And the last time she told me what they would pay me, and I said, well, I think the Lord's calling me. And that's how it happened. By God's grace, I was drawn into working with domestic violence offenders, and have been doing that for nearly a decade. I've lost count. I think when we first started coming and I started teaching to track four, we had worked with about 150 men. I think we're somewhere between 350 and 400 men that we've worked with over the years in different settings. And then God's just allowed me at that time to start the MABC program, and the professors were great to let me write all my papers on domestic violence and to think through gospel. Again, sorry, Bob, wherever Bob's at, I'll use it. Hopefully not cliche, but gospel solutions, and that one thing led to another, and here we are. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about the impact on children. I think that churches are positioned, especially when you consider all of the political rumblings that go along about cutting this and cutting that and cutting this. Social services in many places are operating on a very thin budget. Talking therapists are finding that there's not a whole lot of work for them to be had. All that means for us is that the church is positioned and primed to fill some strategic gaps in our community. Let me share with you how that's working in our community in the hopes that it'll inspire you. Again, I pastor a small church. We rent the back of a beauty shop. That's where we meet. My son said to me one time, Dad, I figured out why our church is so small. I said, why, buddy? Because we meet in a beauty shop. Well, we meet behind the beauty shop. We don't have the resources to, and as much as I love Faith, we just don't have the resources to minister in the same way that Faith ministers. Make sense? Some of you guys are probably there. That's fine. God's not frowning at us because we don't have stuff. That's fine. He has blessed Faith, and we should be, I'm excited every time I come back here to see what new is happening, right? Maybe you are too. But there are opportunities in your community that I think God is possibly positioning you to take place because social services are on the decline in a lot of places, especially those of us in places that are maybe smaller, don't have resources, or aren't as, for lack of a better word, aren't as sexy as some of the other environments in the country that get a lot of the funding. So here's what's happening in our community. We've had a meeting about the possibility of expanding shelter services away from our closest city, because all of our victims in our county who are offered shelter services have to travel to another county but they don't want to go because their kids are not in school in that county. So we're talking about expanding shelter services. In order to do that, we had to have community resources. So myself and the Nazarene pastor are on the board. Yeah! I know, don't frown. The Nazarenes are good people. I'm a big fan, okay? Isn't that cool? Now, I'll give you another one. You ready? God's allowed me to be on our statewide faculty for statewide intervention training. He's allowed me to be on our county stop team. And right now, in track one, our domestic violence officer, the deputy sheriff for our county who investigates domestic violence crime, is in track one with his wife. How awesome is that? Solid believer, loves the Lord. Our victim advocates are believers. They love the Lord. Our substance abuse counselor that works with us, the believer, loves the Lord, is trained by CCEF. God's up to something in our little community. How exciting. And I believe he is positioning us to fill a void that the culture can't meet. And one of the areas that we are uniquely positioned is how we impact and minister to children, because I'm going to guess, just let me use my psychic powers, I'm guessing your church ministers to children. Right? If for nothing else, just to give them a space on Sunday morning. But all of us are engaged in some form of children's ministry. So I want to get into this topic today, but I want to level a warning. Of all the talks that I do, this is the most emotional for me and for some participants. So I tend to give trigger warnings when I'm talking, because I understand in a crowd this size, the odds are good that someone here has been a victim of domestic violence, either as a child or with an intimate partner. The odds are also very good that someone in this room today has perpetrated acts of violence against an intimate partner. I want to give you an opportunity, if this is just going to be too much, no one's going to judge, no one's going to point, right? No one's going to even confront you, but if you want somebody to pray with you or something, we'd be happy to do that. If this is too much, while I do a little business, feel free to step out. Nobody's going to be at all upset about that. In fact, we welcome that if it's just something that you're just not ready for. So one of the things that I'd like to start with is, at the top of your notes there, it should have that little verse. And this is how I tend to feel when I encounter a criminal complaint that contains children. At the top of your notes, about the millstone being hung about their neck. Does anybody else go there? You get this sense of vengeance. Like, I'd like to make that right. Worst thing we can do, by the way, I think the church in general, when I teach on this topic, pastors and deacons, our first response team seems to be the old bully the bully. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to take some deacons over their house and we'll show him a lesson, which actually just reinforces the principle that power effectively controls other people, right? Bullying the bully is not an effective means of addressing a person's heart. It just confirms what they already believe. Right? So I want to seek vengeance, but I need to leave room for that with God, do I not? That's why I love Romans 12. I'm a big fan of Romans 13, but my favorite part of Romans 13 is Romans 12, where it sets up about living at peace with everyone. Now, I know we're all into this, hey, you got the government this and the government that, but Paul's government was Nero, and Romans 12 is pretty crazy, right? As much as it depends on you, live at peace, be a person of peace. Big fan. So that's what we're called to. The government wields the sword. We bear the cross. We don't have jails in our church, I don't think. If you have jails in your church, please see me afterwards. That's something I'd like to talk to you about. No, but we work hand in hand with the state. There are crimes that we are called to report, especially when it comes to children. If you're a children's minister or you're a pastor and CE director, understand that we have laws in our states about mandated reporting. And so there are certain things you need to know. Now, please know this. This is a big area of confusion. When it comes to domestic violence, when we receive a disclosure from an intimate partner, to my knowledge, federally speaking, we're not obligated to report that, because it can actually put a victim in more danger. We allow her to tell us how far she wants us to go. Now, if someone's life is in danger, there's immediate threat to the children, absolutely. But I think that's a little sub-point that some of us miss. We think we hear domestic violence, we've got to call the police. But simply responding to a disclosure with a call to police actually could put the victim in more harm's way. So just be aware of that. All right, when it comes to children, and before we can get there, we've got to talk about definitions. Here's a couple definitions for you of domestic violence. The first is one that I use when I'm training police officers or DOC workers or prison workers. It starts with this: a pattern of abusive behavior. That's the first thing that we're looking for, is a pattern. Many of us in the church, we view domestic violence as a